How do you engage with Jesus with your struggle? Hello, you're listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. My name is Craig Faust. I'm here with Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Craig.
And the essence of what we're going to go through today is step five with engage. And the whole purpose of this engage step is to increase our intimacy with Jesus in a very intentional way. So this is coming on the tail end of step four, connect. And we just went through that consolidate section this past episode. And we really want to tune in to that close, very rich and fruitful relationship with Jesus with us. After all, we're working on handing our deepest struggles over to Jesus.
That's right.
For peace.
Yeah.
So we want to try to really hone in on some of the things that we've made during that connect portion, that plan, that are really working. We want to really lean into some of those things. We want to try to examine ideas of why maybe some of the other things aren't working, all for the purpose of increasing that intimacy, which is just increasing closeness, increasing how many times that you may be praying or reading the Bible, just trying to engage in that relationship and whatever you can, especially amidst the struggle.
You know, I've heard somebody once describe intimacy as into me see, that you can see into me, that you can I'm transparent. You can see the brokenness in me. You can see the dignity in me. You can see all the things about what makes me who I am.
Right.
Because intimacy is really a complete understanding and knowledge of another person.
Right.
And that's what we are wanting to get to this place where, well, Jesus already knows all about us. Because, you know, he is God, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, but it is more relational and personal when we give him that permission to see into us, when we share all that is within us with him, because then it's us choosing to bring him in as opposed to him already knowing. And so part of that is continuing to do the things that we've already asked you to do. Like in this chapter, we ask you to go back to that recognize section, right? And remember the vision that you need of why you're doing this. Why keep pouring into the Lord, trying to do these habits that we've asked you to do in the connect section, some of which may be really challenging and difficult. Like, what's the point? And we need to remember why we do what we do. Why is it good and right and important and healthy and life-giving for us to keep doing this hard thing? And so it's not necessarily about, like, relearning a lesson over again.
Right.
Because you know the lesson. I think often in life for healing and growth to happen, we kind of take foundational truths and we keep telling them to ourselves. It's more about, well, what's a better word for it? Perhaps reigniting, reinvesting. To get that truth really solid in our soul.
Right. Yeah, I mean, think about it. If you're someone that's ever played a sport before, you practice the same move over and over and over again so that it can become much smoother.
Yeah, muscle memory, reinforcing. Yeah. That's the word I was looking for, that we reinforce a truth in ourselves.
Absolutely.
And the same thing has to happen with our spiritual muscles as much as it does with our physical muscles.
Right. And so you may be someone like me that's like, well, I want God to be intimate with me. And okay, God's already done that. You start to read the Bible, it becomes very clear the level of intimacy and love that God has. Now, it may be hard to recognize this upon a first Passover, but if you consider what God decided to do with Abraham, taking on the covenant, knowing that this was going to be a painful ordeal for him, because God knows who God is, knows who his images are, and knows that these chosen people are not going to be able to fulfill their end.
Mm-hmm.
And then it is repeated throughout every story in the Bible where God is showing his heart or showing how the way he is, right? God is revealing more and more of who he is, which is intimacy. Yep. Yep. And there's a lot of times where we don't really accept that, or the people in the stories do not accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is this rejection that can happen not only from what the story is telling us has occurred, but also in our own hearts, right? I could tell you right now, whenever I read through Exodus, I don't like some of the things that happen. When I read through Leviticus, I don't like some of those things. There is a rejection of God and his own nature there. And intimacy is about being willing to draw close, even when we don't really quite understand someone.
When we don't understand it, when what we're being asked to draw toward is difficult, uncomfortable, or hard for us, but yet we still want to do it because we love the other person,
right?
And we trust that it's good, even if we can't fully understand why it's good, which is usually the nature that we have with God. You're never going to have a full understanding of God or why he asks us to do all the things that he asks us to do, to be obedient to him in the ways that he's called us to be obedient. But if we trust that no matter what, that he is good because of the way that we see him in Scripture, how he reveals himself in Scripture, that even when we're asked or challenged to do a hard, uncomfortable, awkward thing, as much as it doesn't feel good, that it really might actually be good.
Absolutely.
And that happens in the story of Abraham, like you mentioned, that there is reinforcement for Abraham again and again and again. When he, you know, goes to a kingdom and he lies to the king about Sarah being his sister and not his wife, and yet he's still blessed, and there's consequence on that king, and the king asks, well, why did you lie to me? And
he says, consequence that Abraham brought upon
that. Abraham brought that, and he says, I was afraid because my wife was beautiful, that you might afraid for my own life, and not necessarily trusting that, hey, God made a promise to me that he's going to make a great nation out of me. Perhaps he's going to keep me safe until a great nation comes out of me.
Right.
And so he wasn't trusting the Lord, yet the Lord still chose to bless him and keep him safe, even though Abraham tried to take things into his own hands. And that happened again, and that happened again. That happened in another moment when Sarah laughed in the face of God. Abraham laughed in the face of God when finally he said, that child is coming, and they were much older at this point. Years and years had gone by, and they laughed at God of, we're well past the age of bearing children. How will this come? And they're not truly trusting in the Lord, yet God continues to say, well, I'm still going to give you this child. Now his name will be Isaac because you laughed. And so he continues to be gracious to us as he still gives us the blessing and the consequence of our action, but reminding us that I want this relationship with you despite how you treat me. Yeah. And so for us, as we engage with God, as we move into further intimacy with Jesus, especially with this struggle, that you will have setbacks. You will have moments where you don't fully get it, where maybe you try to take something into your own hands, do it on your own. And what we want you to remember, and what you will probably experience, is that you will still see Jesus as pursuing you.
Right.
He's still forgiving you.
So now it's our job here to get our heart in line so that we can pursue the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have to engage Jesus with our struggle. And this is how we do it. So, like, let's have some of these questions that are just kind of like these guiding pieces to help reveal some things that are going on here for you in this intimate relationship that we're trying to increase. Number one, how well do you count on people in your life to be there for you when you are in need? Now remember, so like this is for you to sit there and ponder and wrestle with. You don't have to answer it right away. You can give yourself some time to think about it. How well do you count on people in your life to be there when you're in need?
It depends, maybe for me, if I'm asking actively for the help or not.
Yeah.
If I'm not asking for the help, I think sometimes I'm okay to emotionally rely or to count on some people. It is very hard for me, as it stands right now, to often allow people to physically come into my life and to be there for me whenever I have a need.
Right.
That feels so much more intimate and vulnerable.
Yes, I agree fully. I think that my own personal way that I experience myself is not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
It puts this protective barrier in front of me that only shows the best part of me or tries to show the best part of me to others. And that makes it a lot harder to count on people. I'm basically telling myself that I can't count on other people unless I'm showing them the best of me, despite mm-hmm. evidence that I've had doing that. So like, I have to recognize that that's something in me that is doing that.
Right.
I think that actually goes into this question 1A. You and I kind of mm-hmm. talked a little bit on that, is like, how does this impact your ability to rely on Jesus? This very much compromises my ability to rely on Jesus.
It gives me a false sense of what the relationship needs to be between me and Jesus, right? Because
mm-hmm.
the way I treat other people is, well, it's got to be completely fair. If I'm asking for help or if I'm going to count on them, I got to quid pro quo, I got to offer something back to them
right.
at some other time so that we're even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can I ever be even with Jesus?
No. And so that puts you in this place where like there's a block there.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's like, I have to recognize that there is a piece of me that doesn't really quite want to ask something of Jesus. And I need to figure out a way of right now just acknowledging that piece and placing it to the side,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's no different for me. I find myself avoiding praying about certain things because I'm embarrassed to admit them to God.
Yeah.
And because of that, and God already knows, right? But I'm playing some type of internal game, like I'm going to hide it from God or like not admitting it or something like that. And then Jesus is going to see me as like, oh, you must be really faithful. But I know that in the back of your mind that you're not giving me the full picture.
Mm-hmm.
So in these moments, it impacts the way that I pray and I'm showing up in prayer because I'm being more robotic. I'm being less of me. Showing less emotion, showing less of the suffering. And again, this is just for us to start to reveal these pieces so we can do something about them,
mm-hmm.
right? So like turn that in prayer. Because usually whenever I recognize that I do that, my prayer right after that's very different.
Right.
Number two. Same. Has it been okay for you to lean on other people or programs for support when you're in need?
You know, I think the reality is that it's always okay for me to lean on other people. Meaning that to them it's okay. If I were to, you know, pull up a bunch of other people or the rest of the world, they would probably say like, well, of course you have a need. It's okay to lean on these people.
Right.
If I were to ask this of myself, that's a harder sell for me to say yes.
Yeah.
Has it been okay for me to lean on other people or programs for support? You know, I think whenever I see programs too, I think, well, that's less personal. I would almost be more apt to say, I'll lean on a program
mm-hmm.
whenever I have a need. Like, I'll lean on my insurance or my HSA to meet a couple of bills here at the end of the year, rather than leaning on some people if I have a need.
Right.
Or I'll lean on a program within my church mm-hmm. if there's something I'm struggling with or some need that my house has or that a kid has.
So it's so funny. You and I must be the same in this, and for the exact reason.
Mm-hmm.
A program can be less personal.
Totally.
So I can be much more vulnerable with my guys group because it's a group of several of us.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, this somehow makes it more okay because I am basically distributing the weight of whatever I'm coming to them with.
Yeah.
And or programs. I love programs. Some of my favorite programs are like 12-step programs with AA and NA. And
because it creates an environment, right? Where this is the norm.
Well, this is actually part of why I wanted to do like this workbook, right? It creates a program that's easier for people to approach. It's easier for people like me to approach.
Sure.
Because if I'm going to a person, is it okay for you to lean on other people? Yes, it is, but do I? No. Because it's harder for me to ask, because then I have to admit my own failing. And that's something I'm getting better at. Right. And right again, that 2A, does this impact how or when you turn to Jesus for help? Absolutely. Jesus is this, you know, while Jesus is this multifaceted energy or entity energy with, you know, the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, whenever I think of Jesus, I'm thinking of an individual, right? And there is a certain level of intimacy there that is hard for me to lean on unless I'm doing it intentionally. I don't have an automatic response. So I have to continually remind myself to lean on Jesus. Right? I have to continue to be like, oh yeah, by the way, Craig, you're struggling with this. How come you haven't prayed? You've been struggling with it a couple times today and you haven't turned to prayer. Like, what's going on with that? Oh, because I'm me and I have a hard time doing that. I have a hard time admitting. All right, look, let's go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah. When you remember that about yourself, does that make it easier to say, oh yeah, I can go ahead and do that right now. I know this is hard for me. This is the thing I actually need to challenge right now and push myself in.
Whenever I recognize it, yes, it is, because this is the part that I have to work on.
Yeah, how often do you recognize it? That's the other question.
No, like that's the worst part, is if it goes on for a while and I haven't noticed that it's going on, then all of a sudden I'm not feeling very close to God. I'm getting angrier in life. I don't have the fruits of the Spirit. I don't have joy going around. Mm-hmm. I'm just some crumunchkin-y guy that's going around, which is not my natural, that's like not my natural space in general. And so it could take me a long time. The longer it takes me, the harder it is for me to come back.
Right.
All right.
That makes a lot of sense, dude. I think it's similar for me as well, which is really the importance of this chapter for you all, is there's an intentionality that it takes to actually engage. Engage is a very active word, to remember, to recognize those areas that are hard for you and to say, oh, wait, yeah, this is it. I got to push. I got to challenge. This is a little awkward, but I'm going to do it. Right. Question 3 here. Has it been okay to be emotionally open or vulnerable to others in your life?
I would say for me, yes. So like this is kind of a flip of the coin for me. I have had a lot of success with being vulnerable. I have not had success of allowing myself to be vulnerable. So like this isn't like people, right? I haven't had a ton of experience showing something and then being stomped on, which is something that a lot of people have had experience with.
Oh, yeah.
I've actually had a lot of success of showing my heart. And it going well.
Same, Craig.
But it's been hard for me to maneuver into that place because vulnerability wasn't something that I really picked up on a lot growing up. It's not something that culturally for us, I feel like, is kind of...
Do you mean as men or men in the West?
Men in the West.
Yeah.
No, I haven't grown up in any other culture.
No, so. Nor have I. Yeah. But I think in the, America that there's a culture around that in general. And then maybe heightened even more so for men too.
Yeah.
But I'm blessed that too, that the men I have been around, starting from high school all the way through, generally whenever I've taken the risk to be vulnerable, it's been well received, understood, validated, and I've gotten vulnerability back. And the question for me is how vulnerable? I would want to tack that on. Completely vulnerable? Because there's levels to that. And I think I've talked about that element for myself before, that I've been able to get away with a certain level of vulnerability and it's accepted because it seems like it's a lot. Yeah. But then there's always that room that I keep closed. And that does impact my ability to connect with others because I know that I've kept this one closed and I've given just enough to keep people from prodding or asking more. So yeah, I feel connected with people, but sometimes there's still a level where even that connection, that love that I get back is comforting, but it's superficial still. Because I still have this piece in the back of my head of, if they knew about this closed door that I haven't shared, that I haven't opened to them, would they still love me?
Right. I bet that affects your relationship with Jesus and your ability to
connect. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
All right, because maybe the same thing would happen with Jesus, which is like that contradiction, right, of from what we know of God and our view of God is different.
Yeah.
And I would say that it's actually easier for me to be vulnerable with Jesus because in these moments, whenever I'm recognizing that that's going on, I could be like, whoa, what am I doing? Like, I just kind of said like a very robotic prayer. What's happening there?
Yeah.
Hold on. Like, all right, let me take a second here. Let's like try to grab onto something. But again, like I have to notice that that's going on. Cause if not, then yeah. Like if I'm not noticing that I'm not going to that place, then it's not going to happen. Now that being said, my wife and I pray every night before we go to bed. I may in those moments withhold that vulnerability. And save it for my own private prayer. And that's been something I've been working on. It's something I've struggled with for a long time, right? There's that added part because the person that I love the most in this world is sitting right next to me. And like, what if, and she's received me well many of times, right? But I could feel it in those moments that there is something that is blocking my connection. It's that fear of rejection. Right, the fear not being enough there, that for some reason Lauren's going to turn over and be like, wow, like I can't believe that you prayed about that. Like there's something really off about you. And again, like that's a completely unrealistic way that she would respond, but that fear is still there. And it affects me really showing my heart in that prayer.
You know, I think it's, I don't want to speak for everyone in the world. I would imagine that it is very common for us to have a little bit more trust that Jesus is going to forgive us because he died on the cross for us.
Right.
Then this flawed human being is going to forgive us or accept us. I have a lot more fear of another person completely accepting me than I think of Jesus accepting me.
Yeah.
So when the rubber hits the road, I think it's harder to be completely vulnerable with another human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on to question four here. Do you see yourself as someone who has value?
Ooh, this has been
Depends, right?
Yeah, this is something I fluctuated a ton on. If I'm going like present Craig, I actually see myself as having quite a bit of value as an image of God. Now, if you were to ask me maybe several years ago, then that would not be the value that I have. The value I have is as a husband or a provider or a friend or someone that people can come to or like professionally and education wise, you know, my value would be in a lot of those different things. So right now, currently I see myself as someone that has quite a bit of value just because of what Jesus was willing to pay.
I like that. I think maybe that's the best place to kind of think of your value. Right.
Well, yeah, if you think of anything else, it's all going to turn to dust. Doesn't mean anything.
You'll lose that at some point. So then what will happen to your sense of value? If I think of my value as how much money I bring in, what do I do whenever I retire? Right. I'm not really bringing in any money.
Something terrible happens and you have to go on disability
or,
You know, you get your license revoked for whatever reason. You know, there's so many different things that can happen that just completely tank our value.
Right.
We have to really hang our hat on what God shows our value to be.
Yeah. And he shows it the most when he spread his arms for us and died on a cross.
Absolutely. And so how does your view... this for you, when you're answering this question, you can allow yourself to go on that journey and see how your value has changed. but I would actually give it a snapshot of more recently rather than historically. Mm-hmm. But if you're someone that likes to kind of do a lot of self exploration, then allow yourself to expand this.
Yeah.
Right. And then like 4A, of course, we're going to turn this to God again. Mm-hmm. Like, how does your view,
what's his value of you?
On your yeah. own value compared to God's view of your value?
Right.
Now, this is a very intentional question because we want that tension there, because some of you that are going through this struggle may feel like because you're going through that struggle, that affects how God is viewing you, because there is going to be this judgment that is coming. And maybe that's your church orientation. Maybe that has something to do with the way that you're raised or the way your current understanding. So allow that tension of God's value of you is so high that
yes.
God not only made you in his image, God died on the cross for you, as Matt said earlier, and God was willing to bear all of those transgressions, and God has created a path for you to continue to lean on him. Something that I feel like is very profound for me is that God's all-seeing and knowing, which means that God already knows every mess up that I'm ever going to have in my life. And a theme that we see through Amen. The Bible is that God seems to hold people in their highest regard on their best days, right? Something about this, right? Because you look at all these people in the Bible, they're sinners, they're messed up, they're us. And as they pass away and prophets may refer to them or people refer to them, they refer to them usually in very high esteem because it's a reflection of like how God sees us. God, who is outside of time and is looking at us, sees the moments where we were at our best, where we're the most faithful, where we're leaning the most on him. And there's something about that that catches God's eye. If we're turning to God and we're continuing to work more than if we had that sin, right, mm-hmm. that just showed up, or this ongoing sin. So lean on God's value. You so valuable, sent his one and only son to die on the cross for our sins, raise him from the grave mm-hmm. to give us that pathway to experience right. the same, that right. resurrection, that death of self, and to becoming what he's already burned on his heart, the name that he has for you, what he's already prepared for you. So allow yourself to really lean into that and feel that tension.
Yes. I've heard it said that the most important thing about you is not what you think about yourself, but rather what God thinks about you.
Right.
Or we can tweak that a little bit. Maybe the most important thing about you that you think in this moment is what you think God thinks
mm-hmm.
about you.
So I love it makes me think of, I was just listening to this other day. I was listening to Exodus again.
Mm.
And like, you get to that part where Moses is basically telling God all these reasons why he should choose somebody else.
At the burning bush. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny looking back now, like how my understanding has changed, right? One of the things that Moses says, I think this is, it's either his first or second reason. I can't remember. I think it's his first reason.
His ability to speak, is that what you're...
I think that was his second reason.
Mm-hmm.
And God says that, like, I'll be with your mouth. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he goes, who am I to do this thing that you've called me to do? Paraphrasing, I can't remember the exact wording. And God says, because I will be with you. And
that's the whole point.
Yeah, it's not important that it's going to be you. It's important the fact that I am with you.
Yeah.
And it's this, right, we're so self-centered in so many times, so many aspects of this, that we forget that God's value that he has in us is the fact that we're made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
And that inherently has a ton of value. He's in love with us. He wants to pursue us. He wants a relationship with us. That's what he's designed us for. And we really need to lean into that value to help us in these moments, these blocks of intimacy that we actually just talked about in these previous questions.
That's right.
As you can see, I'm passionate about this. I could talk about this.
We should
this
be
all
passionate
day.
About it. Yeah. Wish we had all day. What fears, this is question 5, what fears arise when you think of having a close, vulnerable, emotionally open relationship with another person? Mm-hmm. And then similar in 5A, do similar or different fears show up when thinking of having that kind of relationship with Jesus?
Yeah.
And I think this leads well into kind of the end of the engage section, is that we can have a lot of fears about ourselves, of something that keeps us out of an intimate relationship with other people and with God. And this, I think, a lot of this goes back to even that discern section, that first chapter, as we start off the workbook, that there's something so broken within myself that I don't think that, I think that this disqualifies me really from the kind of relationship or the kind of life that I want to have with other people, or the way that I even could think of myself, the kind of image I want to have of myself, that right. I'll never have this because this is in the way. And I think it's very common for us to all have a voice in our head that whispers these lies to us.
Right. And we have a name, an idea, a concept of that that the Bible allows us to point to, like for our own internal narration.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question 5 and 5A, give yourself some time to think about that, right? Like, because our relationship with people often affects the way that we reveal ourselves to Jesus. Sometimes it doesn't. And whenever, you know, Matt and I have talked to about how it's most certainly affected our own intimacy, there are things that it's easier for us to turn to Jesus and be vulnerable about, and things that it's harder to do with other people. And that just means that, all right, like, we got to work on that. Because remember, where two or more are gathered, Jesus is there.
That's right.
Two or more gathered in his name, Jesus is there. So when we have trouble being vulnerable to other people and showing up, showing our heart, we are being less of ourselves. And that means we have less of the opportunity to get other people's, like, I guess what's the, for some reason, the word acceptance, but it's even more than that. The more vulnerable we are, Matt and I see this all the time when we work with couples, the more someone shows their heart, it's riskier for them because they could get stomped on. But it invites the other person to get even closer to them, to have more compassion for them, to have more love for them. And it gives them the opportunity to experience that very love. And this is the door that we're trying to open, right? Allow yourself to open your heart up so that you can take in that love that Jesus is just trying to pour over you time and time and time again. And these questions are hopefully pointers towards, so you can recognize your own blocks. Now, we're actually going to, we'll talk a little bit next episode. We'll talk about some of these blocks. I want to specifically talk about some of them because I think they're really important. They're very common and universal. And we'll go through some of these just to help give you an idea of like what it looks like to engage those.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But until then, guys, we love you. And we hope that you'll tune in again. Take care. Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort, or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I had that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom, or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation, and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content, and God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way, or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much, and we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah, thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.